Welcome to Knowing Him. This is Steve Danielson.
And this is Angie Danielson.
Join us each week as we explore the hymns of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and share our feelings, insights, and reflections about how each one brings us closer to Jesus Christ.
Enjoy your favorites and find some undiscovered gems in our journey to knowing Him.
Welcome, friends, to today's episode of Knowing Him. I'm your host, Steve Danielson, and I'm here with my co-host that makes me whole, Angie.
Hi.
This week we are talking about hymn number 129, Where Can I Turn for Peace? And believe me, I need this hymn in my life right now, as I'm sure many of you do as well.
Me too.
This week's hymn is corresponding to the Come Follow Me reading in John 14-17, teachings of our Savior to his apostles during the Last Supper. So it's sort of our second week of Last Supper talk, and I'm excited to see where we go. So we're going to start by talking about our author and composer of this hymn. So our author is Emma Lou Thane, born October 24th, 1924 in Salt Lake City, Utah, born Emma Lou Warner. Her father was a car dealer and her mother was an artist.
Interesting.
Yeah. She earned her bachelor's and master's degree from the University of Utah. I believe her master's was in creative writing. She returned to the University of Utah to teach. She taught English, and she also coached tennis for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's one of her interests.
Wide variety of interests.
In 1949, she married Melvin Thane, and they had five daughters together. And she was a writer of many varieties. I saw different numbers on different sites. She had a lot of books. I saw anywhere from 10 to 14, somewhere in there.
Interesting.
About 13 books of poetry. Articles in several periodicals, and her first novel, Never Passed the Gate, in 1975, was inspired by her summers growing up in Mount Air Canyon.
Wow. I didn't know that all of this.
It's available still on Amazon, so if you want to find it and buy it, it's still there.
Where's Mount Air Canyon? Is that in Utah?
Somewhere in Utah, I would imagine.
I've never heard of it. Yeah. Interesting.
And it's very fancy. It's Mount Air, A-I-R-E. So very fancy air there.
Yeah, fancier air there than the rest of us.
That's right. Her novel was on the New York Book Club selection.
Oh,
I'm not entirely sure what the book club selection is. I don't know if that was like the precursor to the best sellers list or something, but it was a prestigious list that this book ended up on. She also served on the board of directors for the Deseret News for several years. And she was a member of the Young Women Mutual Improvement Association General Board, which we'll feature into our hymn later today. Yeah. She died December 6th, 2014 in Salt Lake City at the age of 90. So long, full life.
Yeah.
In fact, a biography or autobiography, I think it was an autobiography, came out shortly before her passing. On the website Mormon Literature Database, she was named one of the 75 most significant Mormon poets from the beginning of the church up through modern times. So she was quite significant in her contribution.
Do we know any of her other poems? Would they be familiar to us?
They're not familiar to me. I looked through a list of them. I couldn't get to where they were. I think some were in older Ensigns, so we might be able to go back and look those up on LDS Tools or something, or the Gospel Library.
Yeah.
Sorry, different app. Mm-hmm. But yeah. There were two interesting quotes that I wanted to read, one from Emma Lou Thane and then one about her. So she writes, and it's very, very English professor here. So, out of a background of mountain living in a camaraderie athletic aesthetic family has come the major part of my writing. Philosophically and culturally attached to Mormondom, I have inadvertently become a spokeswoman for the moderate Mormon woman. My writing deals with the dichotomies, frustrations, pleasures, and harmonies tangled in the dailiness of expecting more than dogma and ritual in being a woman.
Wow.
So
a lot
had,
of big words.
She had quite the command of the English language, which is fantastic. So basically what I'm getting out of this is that she was interested in in more than just, settling and saying, I'm just doing what I'm told because of religion. I'm doing what I do because of what I believe is right. That I don't know if that's what exactly what that says, but that's sort of what I got out of it. That I use my faith and my religion to guide my choices, but I'm not just sitting blindly and doing what I'm told, but I'm using these informed decisions based on my upbringing and my education and my religion all together, working together. Anyway,
yeah, that's good.
That's sort of what I got out of it. Anyway, this other quote here, this is from the Thane Community Service Center at the Salt Lake Community College. By the way, they loved her at the Salt Lake Community College. They actually named a center after her.
Yeah, that's cool.
But the Emma Lou Thane is a peacemaker. She cares deeply about people. Whether writing of love or loss, triumph or suffering, Emma Lou sees the extraordinary in the ordinary. She recognizes dignity in daily experience, and she magnifies moments that many would allow to pass without recognition. Emma Lou Thane is a poet, and her poems celebrate connections.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, and I think that will play nicely into our discussion of the hymn today as well. Yeah. So we will actually come back to a little bit about Emma Lou Thane after we talk about our composer as well, as we get into the discussion of the song. But let's talk about our composer, Jolene G. Meredith. Born in 1935 in American Fork, Utah, but still alive, still kicking.
What year was she born?
1935. So
yeah, she's coming up on 90.
She's coming up on 90.
Yeah.
I found her profile on Facebook. She's out there. her grandfather, William Grant, was asked to settle American Fork and take music to the people in the area. I tried to look more information about William Grant. It's really hard to find it, though, because there is a very prominent African-American composer from the early 20th century named William Grant Still.
Oh.
So that's what will come up.
That's what comes up, yeah.
If you try to Google William Grant. The tune for Where Can I Turn for Peace, Jolene Meredith named Grant after her grandfather. So she began writing music at the age of 8.
Wow.
And wrote music through her whole life. I don't know if she's still writing music or not. I don't know. She may have retired. But she has piano solos, choral works, primary songs. I couldn't find many that were accessible online. She does have a song in the primary book, Because He Loves Me, which is in our primary book now. And there was another one called Don't Envy the Boy. Which I found the words to. I don't know the tune.
Was it in an old primary song?
Yeah, it was an older primary book. But these are the words. I like this. Don't envy the boy with a cheerful smile. Just get one. Don't envy the boy with sportsmanship. Just get some. We have guidelines to follow as we blaze the trail of life. Don't envy the boy with special skills. Just get some. Don't envy the boy with standards high. Just be one. Working every day with our light to guide the way, we won't envy the boy with a cheerful smile. We won't envy the boy with the standards high. We won't envy the boy with a happy life. We'll live one.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So she wrote the words and the music to that one. But yeah, she had a lot of these children's songs as well. There was another one about a CTR ring. I think it was called Ring on the Finger or something like that.
So most of hers are not in our hymn book anymore, or the children's song book
right,
anymore.
Right, yeah. It's just Because He Loves Me is her one in there. And Where Can I Turn for Peace is the one she has in our hymn book.
The only one in the hymn book. Does Emma Lou Thane have any other poems or that are songs in our hymn book?
Just Where Can I Turn for Peace. Yeah. That's sort of what they are
known for.
now, yeah. But Jolene Meredith was also a member of the Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association General Board, which is how she knew Emma Lou Thane. And again, we will talk about that in a moment when we talk about the song. Yeah. One thing about Jolene Meredith and Emma Lou Thane, they were both advocates for mental illness awareness. And so there was a quote I wanted to read, and then I'm going to ask Angie to talk a little bit about this as well. So I saw this quote on Mormon Wiki. This is a quote from Jolene Meredith. She said, we determined this was a mental illness hymn, talking about where can I turn for peace. Meredith would go on to say when telling the story behind the hymn, Emma was struggling with mental illness of one of her daughters at the time this was written, and I was struggling myself personally with mental illness, and so we lovingly call it the mental illness hymn.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah. So Angie found something in a book here that I'm going to ask her to talk about.
So recently I was reading this book called Silent Souls Weeping, and it's a book about depression by Jane Clayson Johnson. And it shares different stories from different people's lives that have suffered from anxiety and depression. And I really enjoyed it because I suffer from anxiety and depression, and so do some of my children. So it was good to see different people's experiences through, you know, through their own words. Mm-hmm. And also Jane Clayson Johnson, who I didn't even realize was a member of the church. She's like a famous news reporter. I've watched her on different shows and didn't even know she was a member of the church. So I thought that was pretty cool. But so she talks about that story that you just said, that they called it the mental health hymn. And she says here, let me see where to start. So she's talking about Jolene Meredith, and she said, she told me about a mental health episode. So Jane Clayson Johnson actually got to meet Jolene Meredith, and she's still alive. So when she was writing this book, she got together with her and talked to her, which is really cool. So she says, she told me about a mental health episode of her own. It was so severe, she recalled, that she was unable to get out of bed for months. When she was finally able to leave her room and go downstairs, she joked that she and her family celebrated by getting in the car and driving around the block. After the episode eased and Jolene found help, she became a lobbyist for mental health issues and served on the Utah Governor's Board of Mental Health and Substance Abuse. Her goal, she said, was to erase the stigma attached to mental illness and encourage people to look for help. I loved visiting with Jolene because she made it easy to talk about mental illness. She spoke with candor and even a little bit of humor. She wishes that mental health issues were as easy to spot as physical issues. Too bad you can't wear a cast on your head, she laughed, because something is broken in here, and that's really hard for people to understand. Then and now, Jolene believes that peace can be found even when trapped in the Gethsemane of depression, even when the Lord does not heal us like he did the blind man. Prayer can definitely help, but healing can come so much faster, she says, when we permit ourselves to use all the tools God has given us to fight this illness. If something were wrong with your ear, you wouldn't go to a foot doctor, she says. If something is broken in your mind, go right to the doctor and go to God. Oh, go to the right doctor, sorry, and go to God. So I really loved that, you know, and that this hymn helped them to express what they were feeling about turning to God in any situation, but especially mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story. So in addition to being called the mental illness hymn, they also referred to this as the telephone hymn. So
yeah, it was a funny story,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I want to share this. I'm leaning heavily on our Latter-day Hymns from Karen Davidson here. In 1971, these two were serving on the Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association General Board, as I mentioned earlier. And they were actually asked to write a musical number for a Laurel conference. So they received this assignment, and Emma Lou Thain telephoned Jolene and talked about this assignment. So I'm going to read what Jolene Meredith said about this. She said, I happened to be in the music room of our home at the time. Sister Thain said she had been thinking of a message of hope and peace as the hymn's theme. As she began to relate some of the beginning lyrics, I stepped to the piano, I had a long telephone cord, and said, sounds good, the music should go something like this. She said, good, and gave me another line. I responded with additional measures of music. Before the conversation ended, we had mostly roughed in the basic hymn. We have lovingly spoken of this number as the telephone hymn throughout the years.
Yeah, I love that. I read that story too. That's great. Yeah. And they just worked it all out on the phone.
So there is an experience here as well about the author, Emma Luthain, who said, "The words of this hymn came from me out of a troubled time in our family. We had one daughter ill. I was facing a spinal fusion and interruption of teaching mid-quarter at the University of Utah. My husband was about to become a bishop of a student ward, and four daughters were under the age of 17 with busy lives. Pray at night, plan in the morning had been the byword in our family. Now it became pray all the time." I mean, it sounds like they were going through a pretty
rough time.
Rough time.
Yeah.
And so these words, she said she wanted something of peace and hope, and that's really what this hymn captures.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, though, in 1985, when this hymn book was published, so they wrote it for this conference in 1971, but it was added to our hymn book in 1985, and Sister Thane says, "It's ironic that the publishing and singing of this hymn happened in this particular year, 1985, when hearing it and its long ago but still vital to me message has lent solace to a new time of personal trial. 5 months ago, a crowbar flew off the freeway and through my windshield to fracture 8 bones in my face,
oh my goodness,
barely missing my right eye. In this time, when reading and writing have not been part of my life, I have come to hear some inner music that is often prompted by the very searching that this hymn talks of. I am grateful for the unbelievably timely resurrection of the song that has helped so much in my own recent resurrection, a resurrection of which I might never have known without the trial and without the granted grace of the impulse to reach."
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
So she was...
Which one had that happen to them?
Emma Luthain.
Oh, my goodness.
So she was in desperate need of peace and solace. She had had this traumatic experience and needed someone to turn to. And so I want to turn to the text of this poem, or to the text of this hymn that that Emma Lou Thane wrote. As I was going through it, I looked at it differently than I have in the past, I think. You know, when we sing it, we sort of sing it 4 measures at a time. Mm-hmm. And sort of think of them separately. So as we sing, we'd sing, "Where can I turn for peace? Where is my solace? When other sources cease to make me whole." Which, when you break it up like that and you say it, it doesn't make as much sense. So I want to sort of make emphasis of the questions that are being asked. It says, "Where can I turn for peace? Where is my solace when other sources cease to make me whole? When with a wounded heart, anger or malice, I draw myself apart, searching my soul. Where, when my aching grows, where, when I languish, where, in my need to know, where can I run? Where is the quiet hand to calm my anguish? Who can understand? He, only one." So there's our answer. And then the third verse, "He answers privately, reaches my reaching in my Gethsemane, Savior and friend. Gentle the peace he finds for my beseeching, constant he is and kind, love without end."
Wow. The way you read it and thinking about mental illness, that was powerful. That's like totally changed the hymn.
Yeah. I mean, it's just this, I love this phrase, "Reaches my reaching in my Gethsemane."
Instead of pausing there after reaches my reaching.
Because normally we'd say, "Reaching my reaching in my Gethsemane, Savior and friend." But it's reaching in my Gethsemane, the thing that I am going through, very personal.
Yeah.
The Savior reaches me. He knows me. He knows what I need. And when you are depressed, when you are feeling like no one can understand what you are going through, to know that the Savior knows exactly what you're going through, and he can reach you where you are, wherever you are. There's no place far enough away that he cannot reach you.
He's the only one.
Yeah, that answer there at the end of the second verse. Where can I turn for peace? To Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's the answer. You know, we all need this peace. I need this peace. You need this peace. Everyone listening, we all need this peace. And we all have different times in our lives when we are searching or aching or wanting that. If I can get personal just for a moment here, you know, Angie, you know my situation, but not all of our listeners do. I earned my doctorate in 2019, hoping to get into higher education as a choral director at a university. And I started applying for jobs in 2018 and have not found a job yet, at least not there. I got a job as a middle school choir teacher, which had its function for a couple of years. But I've had a lot of sort of soul-searching times over the past couple of years, especially as COVID hit and everything that I knew and loved in music disappeared.
Yeah.
Where I couldn't sing, I couldn't direct my choir, I couldn't go into people's houses and tune pianos, I couldn't do the things that I loved. And it got really hard for me for a while. It got really dark for me for a while. But the thing that pulled me through was knowing that Jesus Christ was always there. I never doubted that he was watching. I never doubted that he knew me. I doubted myself a lot. I doubted the direction I was going in my life, but I never doubted that he was there. And that was the only thing that got me through that really, really hard time. And it's not over. I'm still searching, still going through it. It's not as hard as it was. Some days are better than others, but it's always Jesus Christ that gets me through it.
Yeah, it's hard to watch you go through that because it's usually me that has the mental illness problems. So having you have that was hard. It's tough to see you suffering the similar things that I suffer with. And yeah. Never want that on, ask that on anybody.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I don't want that for anyone.
I absolutely love the scripture for this week that goes along with this, which is John 14.
Oh, that perfect. Is. Let's transition into our come that, follow me discussion.
That is my absolutely, one of my top favorite chapters in all of scripture.
So especially here in chapter 14, verse 27, this is one that's referenced at the bottom of our hymn. Could you read that for us?
Yeah. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Which he says at the beginning of the chapter as well, let not your heart be troubled. So I really love that. And I go back to this chapter all the time. It's also refers to having the Holy Ghost with us and having comfort and peace from the Lord.
Yeah. I also liked this scripture in John 16:33, which is also referenced in the hymn. It said, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye... Let me try that again. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yeah, I love that one too.
He knows. And if I could read one more scripture, this is not in our Come Follow Me lesson, but it's the other scripture that's referenced in this hymn here. This is in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which means he's unable to sympathize with our imperfections, So we don't have a high priest which cannot sympathize with us, but we have one, he goes on, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Yeah, I like that verse.
We don't have some untouchable being who doesn't understand what we're going through. Jesus Christ came to earth. He suffered temptation, but he was perfect in all things. And so he knows what we're going through. He gets earth life, mm-hmm. and knows what we're doing. And so we can go, as it said, boldly to the throne of grace.
Plus he suffered for all of our problems in the Garden of Gethsemane. So, I mean, he suffered for every pain, every illness, including mental illness. He suffered and felt that, all of that. So he could say, yes, I know. I understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
I had another story that I wanted to share that Please. I found online. This was on LDS Living. So several months ago, I'm not sure when it was, but I listened to this podcast called All In, and it's an LDS Living podcast. And on one of the episodes, they interviewed Bishop Gerald Cousset, and I guess he's a really good pianist, which I don't know how many of you know that, but
I did not know that.
And he's actually made a CD with this other guy. I can't remember his name at the moment. Nicholas Giusti, G-I-U-S-T-I. It's probably French because Elder Cousset is French. So.
Very possibly.
Anyway, but they were talking about songs to put on the album and do together. So they both play the piano. So they're playing together. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Where Can I Turn for Peace? And when Elder Cousset heard this other guy's arrangement, he was like, it's way too upbeat. This is supposed to be like a somber, sad song, contemplative or whatever. And so he, let me see what he says here. So he says, when he sent me the arrangement, I didn't feel it was a good one because I always listen to that music, that hymn, thinking of how sad it is when you're facing adversity and you need the help of the Lord. And I called him back and I say, it's too joyful. It's not appropriate for the theme and the topic. It's all about the atonement of Jesus Christ. And then I received a lesson on the phone and he said, President Nelson would say happiness has nothing to do with the circumstances of our life, but everything to do with the focus of our life. And he said, no, the atonement is in a way a joyful event that we need to celebrate. And there is a lot of joy in the good news of the gospel, including in the atonement of Jesus Christ. And he was right. And I feel it's the most beautiful hymn on the album because it reminds me of that experience and what I learned with Nicholas.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. So I listened to it. So if you want to look that up, it's Elder Cousset and this other guy whose name I can't say.
Like, is it available on like YouTube or Spotify, or where did you find it?
Well, I found it right here. She had a link to it.
On the article.
On the LDS Living article, but you might be able to find it on YouTube. And you can buy their album as well. But anyway, it's a beautiful arrangement, and it is more upbeat than we normally think of, but I like that story, you know, and Elder Cousset learned a lesson from his friend, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, speaking of arrangements, if you remember back in our early episodes of Knowing Him, our theme song used to be Where Can I Turn for Peace? It was our family singing it, but I realized that we probably didn't have the rights to use that. Because I believe that was David Zabriskie's arrangement. And so I switched it to an arrangement I did of Come Come You Saints, which is what you hear now as our theme song. But if you want to hear our family sing, we actually have it up on YouTube. So mm-hmm. you can hear our family sing Where Can I Turn for Peace if you'd like to. Okay. Is there any other thing that you'd like to say about our hymn today?
Nope.
Okay. Then we are going to sing Where Can I Turn for Peace.
Where can I turn for peace? Where is my solace? When other sources cease to make me whole. When with a wounded heart, anger or malice, I draw myself apart, searching my soul. When my aching grows, when I languish, where in my need to know, where can I run? Where is the quiet hand to calm my anguish? Who can understand? He only one. He answers privately, reaches my reaching. In my Gethsemane, Savior and friend, gentle the peace he finds for my beseeching. Constant he is and kind, love without end.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us today as we discussed the hymn, Where Can I Turn for Peace? As always, it's a joy to be with you and to discuss the hymns. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at knowinghim@gmail.com or connect through our website, knowinghim.weebly.com. We'd love to hear from you, what you think about the podcast and about the hymns. In the meantime, I hope you'll join us next week as we sing our way to knowing Him.